welcome to the unofficial Unreal Engine podcast, where we talk about all things Unreal Engine. And also, I'm Gene. We're your hosts. My name's Alex. And also, there's no Jacob tonight. It's just me and a special guest. We have with me Leo Body, who is joining us all the way from Buenos Aires. Leo, say a quick hello. Introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you, Alex, for inviting me. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, we're going to chat about pixel streaming, Unreal Engine, all sorts of fun things. Before I forget, I'm going to try to be like Jacob and say, remember to rate, review, like, subscribe, all those fun acronyms that they're not acronyms, nouns, whatever. Do those things. Adjectives, verbs, they're verbs. Do all the verby things and let us know if there's anything in particular you would like to see on the podcast. For example, we had some people say we'd love to hear more about pixel streaming, and we thought it'd be fun to chat more about pixel streaming with special guests like Leo from Arcane Mirage. Arcane Mirage, for those of you who don't know, is a super cool, amazing pixel streaming platform. We're going to get to it. We're going to talk about it. But first, we have to go through our little structure of how we introduce our guests to the world. We don't want Leo to just go off in this wonderful biography of his journey into this space. We are going to start with, you know it, word associations. So Leo, the way this is going to work is I'm just going to say a word and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. Sound good?
Okay. Here we go. Sounds good. Sounds funny. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. We're going to say home.
Wife.
Work.
Fun.
Food.
Food. Something that I want to eat always. All the time.
Excellent. Travel.
Piece of
virtual production.
Something hard to do.
Unreal Engine.
The top of the mountain, like the leader.
Yeah. Correct answer. Leo, how do you take your coffee?
Hot without sugar.
Very nice. I of course do not have coffee. I just have tea here. Trying to take care of my throat, so I'm going to try not to crackle too much tonight. Leo, what is your favorite time of day?
Actually, it's the morning.
The morning. Do you ever watch the sun rise?
No, not that morning. No. After 8 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And yeah. Recall, if you will, one of the last times you laughed. Just a thing that happened, could be situational, could be a joke you heard that just brought a little joy into your life.
Well, I just laughed. But before this, I met with a couple of friends today, and we have a really good time laughing. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. I feel like more and more, if we can actually get together with real people, especially together in the real world, it's nice. I do like a little like XR social club thing on Mondays in VR chat, and that's fun. And that almost feels like hanging out with real people, but it's not quite the same as like actually having a group of people together.
So I haven't tried that yet. I have a VR headset here, but I'm not using it.
Oh.
My friend, we bought all VR headset. We play around a little bit, but afterwards we drop it. But we have to take it back. Yeah.
Yeah. What headset do you have?
The Quest 2.
Quest 2, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little updated. Yeah, I need to upgrade maybe the hardware.
Yeah, I mean, the Quest 2 is still a totally solid headset. Have you been able to try the Apple Vision Pro yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
One of the interesting responses that I've been hearing a lot with the Apple Vision Pro is people will go into an Apple store because they're just, you know, giving headset demos, at least in the United States, and they'll come out of it being like, okay, there's no way I'm going to pay $4,000 for that headset. But a lot of these people are people who have never tried VR before, and it kind of converts them. And they say, yeah, I'm not going to spend $4,000, but I am going to go find a used Quest 2 for $150 on eBay, and I'm going to go play some walkabout mini golf or whatever. And so it just feels like, if nothing else, the Apple Vision Pro is starting to just normalize the idea of doing things in a headset. So that's, I think, a general win for the industry.
Yeah, I always speak with my friends that they own headset, that the first time that you try that technology is amazing, no matter which headset you own, right? The first time that you put the headset, you know that there is something different in this tech, right? It's pretty amazing, yeah. I still remember the first time that I tried, and I was, even if I was a tech guy, I was really, really surprised.
Absolutely. All right, yeah. Well, Leo, let's back up a little bit. So We know you work for Arcane Mirage. We're going to get to Arcane Mirage, but first we want to talk just about you. Where do you come from? What were you like as a kid? What kind of drove you into the space? When was the first time you learned Unreal Engine? Take that however you want, and off to the races you go while my throat recovers.
Okay, yeah. I will try to extend so you can recover, so you have the time to recover. Well, I'm from Buenos Aires. I was born here. My love for computers started with video games, of course, like 99% of the people who actually developed something. I still remember that I had a computer. I don't remember the year, but I had like 7 years ago. No, seven years ago. No, sorry. I was 7 years old. And one of the first games that I played was once something to where you had to fire rockets to asteroids. Well, afterwards, I continued playing video games, and I actually start a degree on electronic engineer without even thought about like actual software engineer. And in the middle of the degree, I shift to software engineer. I changed basically the career. I started with that. I tried to explore Unreal Engine in the early Unreal Engine 4, but it was really, really hard to enter that world because the documentation available back then was really, really scarce. So I dropped it, and I came back a couple of years ago with the late Unreal Engine 4, right? When everything was more prepared and there were more tutorials online. But I don't have any background in actually the game industry itself. My background came from the ad tech world, actually, and cloud services, right? So I'm not so familiar with all the gaming tech, although I do some little project on Unreal Engine on my free time. My strong background, my job, my daily job is cloud services, I will say.
Excellent.
And it's me, basically.
Say that again?
That's me.
That's you. That's Leo. Excellent. Yeah. And similar, you know, I come from an architecture background. I also dipped my toe in Unreal Engine very early on, like as soon as it became free. And I was like, this is a little too complicated. I tried to bring an FBX file over from Revit, and it took like an hour to load. And then Unreal Engine just crashed. And I'm like, okay, it's not ready for me yet. And then I came back in a few years when Datasmith had really taken off, and there was more of like an ingestion pipeline from 3ds Max and Maya and Cinema 4D and all that. And then it felt more comfortable, and then, you know, we're able to do all these cool things. How did you come into the world of pixel streaming specifically, or cloud computing, if we want to generalize it a little bit?
I will talk about pixel streaming in specific. I would say that more than 1 year ago, I remember the exact date, but we were speaking with a friend of mine who is actually a VFX artist. He is the big brain on Unreal, basically, from the team, right? And we were speaking about possible tools that we can create for Unreal or for the gaming world in general, actually, not only Unreal. And we started to investigate how we can actually stream a project, like an Unreal project from one computer to another one. And we basically stumbled into the pixel streaming world without even notice. We investigate other technology, more general technologies to do actual streaming from one computer to another one. Some proprietary technologies from NVIDIA, et cetera, et cetera. But after we stumbled into pixel streaming itself, we realized that having a basic setup where you are streaming your experience, your project to the world was really easy to do. Of course, not in scale, but if you just want to do a POC, it was really easy. The tech was there. So yeah, that was the first time that we actually realized that this technology was possible and that there was an opportunity to give something to a real community, something that in our opinion was missing.
That's excellent. Yeah. Cool. And now I think it's time. Tell us a little bit about Arcane Mirage.
Well, basically, Arcane Mirage is a pixel streaming platform that allows independent creators or small studios, actually, no matter how big or how small you are, we are giving you the possibility to pixel stream in your project through the web in a really easy way without having to actually enter into the details of setup, a cloud service, a cloud provider, virtual servers, or whatever. We just give you a pay-as-you-go service to stream your project through the web and to scale as you go, basically. I think that is the best way to describe it, right?
The way when I first stumbled on Arcane Mirage, the first thing that came to my mind was like, oh, it's like YouTube, but for pixel streaming, just this very easy way for people to upload and share content. And of course, for those who don't know, pixel streaming allows you to render content on the cloud. You don't need the local hardware running yourself. So, you know, all these Unreal Engine projects just available and running. And also going back to our discussion with VR, I saw also that Arcane Mirage from its earliest days had experimental WebXR pixel streaming from Unreal Engine Active. So I was even able to try a little bit of having the headset streaming an Unreal Engine project from the Arcane Mirage website, which was super cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Basically, you described it perfectly. It's like a YouTube, but for pixel streaming. Yeah. I mean, you described it perfectly. Yeah.
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 And do you happen to have, for our YouTube watchers who are going to see the video feed of this, do you have anything you could share on your screen to just kind of give people a basic visual of how everything works?
Yeah, of course. Just a second, I will start sharing my screen. This is the first time that I have a Zoom call on this computer, so I hope that you guys will allow me to share my screen. I have to open the system preference. We are having some technical difficulties here.
No worries. While you're taking a look at that, so just to riff on this a little bit more, the thing I love about pixel streaming, of course, is that it doesn't matter what kind of device you're using. You can be on a phone, you can be on a Chromebook, you can be on a powerful computer. It doesn't matter. It can be anything that has a browser. And then as long as it can run Netflix, you know, if you've got a good enough connection to get like a good 1080p stream going, then pixel streaming is going to work. It's a little bit, to continue on the Netflix metaphor, a little bit like Bandersnatch and the idea that you have input, you have something that you're doing on your end, and then that's registering on the other side. So pixel streaming, of course, is also a lot like Google Stadia, GeForce Now, Xbox Cloud Gaming. Except if you use a service like Arcane Mirage, it's very easy to do your own projects, not just the AAA titles that are out there in the broader public.
Exactly. I will have to reopen soon, actually. I don't know how we can handle this, but I will just tweet and I will reopen again because Matt is complaining about permissions. Okay?
Yeah, no problem.
I will be right back.
Great, no problem. While Leo's gone, I'll just mention that South by Southwest, GDC coming up. I will not be there. I'll have a couple colleagues, but certainly let us know if you will be around. For anyone that might want to see the Four Seasons project that we've been building for the past year and a half, this 5,000 square foot kind of holodeck showroom over in Austin, Texas, if you have potential interest in building something similar, if you're involved with location-based entertainment, our client is welcoming a few people over the course of South by Southwest to come up and take a look, even if they don't plan on spending millions of dollars on the super penthouse there. So do reach out. You can just email unrealpodcast@gmail.com. I've totally forgotten our message. Just find me, iBrews, on Twitter, and reach out if you or someone you know should go take a look at our 5,000 square foot showroom, which again, we did a whole Unreal Fest talk about last October. So feel free to check that out. A few other things we're going to do during this session with Leo. I'm going to give a quick tutorial about using the modeling tools, punching a hole in the wall. We'll look at that together. And I'm also going to ask Leo if he has any travel plans or any predictions for GDC as well. We have Leo back. So Leo, let's see if we're able to take a look at Arcane Mirage.
Yeah. Let's hope that...
I did like a commercial break while you were gone.
I just hear a little bit about that. Yeah. I will share this.
Excellent. It's working.
Great. So basically, this is a homepage of a Camirage. The first time that you will enter a Camirage, you will see this basically, which is kind of like YouTube, right? You have a bunch of thumbnails here where you can click and you can actually start streaming right away. These are the future projects that we have pinned in the top of the page, showing basically a bunch of use cases for pixel streaming. But if you scroll down, you will start to see a pixel streaming project uploaded from our community. I will show you later, but basically, when you are uploading a project, you can upload it either privately or publicly. So if you want to upload your own project, the only thing that you have to do is, first of all, of course, have a pixel streaming ready project already packaged. We have a really small tutorial about how to do this. You can check it on our documentation. But afterwards, you can sign in here.
And for our audio listeners, Leo is just signing into his Gmail account. So real simple signing process to get into Arcane Mirage.
Yeah. So if you go to My Studio is basically the place where you can upload, create, or delete your project. You click on the green button that says upload your new project. And here is basically asking me if I will upload a Linux or a Windows package project. I will go for Linux. Windows is still on beta phase. If you want to request beta for Windows, if you want to upload your Windows project, please contact us. We will grant you access to the beta. But we do recommend to our users to go with Linux if it's possible. Most of the plugins will work with Linux. Most of the rendering technologies will work with Linux. There are some special cases, maybe ray tracing that is not well supported. But in most cases, you will be okay with Linux. Here, basically, you will have to pick a thumbnail, like if you were uploading a YouTube video. You will basically have to upload your zip project from the Unreal. And you will basically complete a bunch of fields, the project name, the description, instruction. Everything is pretty self-explanatory. And you will have to choose a GPU, in which GPU you want to upload this. We have four options from a low-end GPU like the 4000. To a really high end like the R4 6000, which is basically a beast. Based on the GPU that you will be using, basically that will change the price per minute that this project will cost. After you upload everything, you go to create project. I will not do it here because it will need a few minutes to upload everything. But afterwards, there is an entire process on Camirage where we basically prepare your project to be pixel streamed. But after that is finished, you can go to your studio and start streaming basically your project. If you click on launch experience, probably, there was a loading error. Of course, as every live demo here,
of course.
Of course.
Okay, so Camirage, let's go over a quick walkthrough about the platform and all the things that you can do on the platform. As you have mentioned, basically a Camirage, or the best way to describe it, is YouTube for pixel streaming. So the first time that you enter here, you will notice that there is a bunch of thumbnails here. Each one of these are basically a project uploaded by our user. You can scroll down and see that there is a bunch of projects. You can enter one and you can launch experience and start seeing what Ariel has uploaded into the platform directly. But if you want to upload your own experiences, the process is really, really simple. You have to just sign in or sign up if you don't have an account already. Let's go over the whole process. I'm logging in through Google. And then you will see that there is a new menu on the left side of the web page. And there is a My Studio button here. If you press it, you will see basically all the experiences that you have uploaded. And in order to upload a new project, you have to click this button, the green one on the top right. You upload a new project, you will see here a prompt that is telling you to decide between Windows and Linux. We always recommend Linux, since they are cheaper to run, they are faster to load, they usually perform better. And almost every plugin is Linux compatible. There are a few exceptions to this. For example, if you really need to use ray tracing, Linux is not supporting that yet, but there is a commitment of Unreal Engine to do a feature parity with it, between what can be done in Windows and Linux. So hopefully we'll see updates in the near future about that. So I will choose Linux for the sake of the demo. Then you will have to pick a thumbnail. So I will not upload any new project here because it will take a while. And the most important part here on this form is the upload your file input. This button basically will allow us to select a zip file with our package project. If you don't know how to actually package an Unreal project, because we know that not everyone is packaging projects. Maybe you are creating content and you never had the need to actually package it. There is in our documentation, there is a small section that it will take you through the process of packaging this. Even for Linux, it's really, really easy. Trust me, you can have your project packaged in only a few minutes. After the zip file is uploaded, you can pick a project name, you can pick a category. I will just fulfill everything with dummy data. You can select a thumbnail. I will choose this wood tail for my thumbnail. And then finally, you will have to set up the GPU that you want to run this project. We have for RTX 4000, which will be like low-end GPUs, up to A6000, which are basically beasts. I will just pick the smaller one. Here you will see a description about what this GPU actually has and how much tokens will consume per minute, this GPU. Okay, after this, you just click create your project and you will see a small label here that is telling that this project is pending. Basically, Arcane Mirage in the behind the scenes is building your project and making sure that everything is ready to be pixel stream. After a few minutes, you will see that this has changed to succeed. I will not wait for the sake of the demo until this happens because it might take up to 5 minutes. So I will pick another project that I already have for demo purposes, which is the Opera House by Arcore Studio. Basically, if you click on View Project, you will be able to actually see your project running through Arcane Mirage directly without having to set up any servers, any signaling server, anything related to the WebRTC protocol. You will have just the project up and running in only a few clicks. Of course, it will take a few seconds to load because here we are basically creating a machine for you, downloading the project and setting everything for you to start receiving this project. So this is basically the Arcore Studio project. And that's it. That is how easily you can have your own project, a Real Engine project, up and running on Arcane Mirage. But this is not everything, right? I mean, you can also, if you want, if you have your own website, you can also embed the project into your website. Here on the, if you click on the three dots beneath the project thumbnail, you will see a button that is called Embed Project. With it will pop up at this model, and here you will be able to set up a bunch of configuration. For example, if you want to pass through the microphone of the user that is pixel streaming the experience to the engine, you can do that. You can set up an idle timeout, for example, if you want your users to not be consuming resources when they are not active. You can set up an AFK time. If you can embed with only this goal into your web page the experience. You can add your loading videos, and that is basically. Also, you can, for example, share the project with your client, your friends, your family, really easily. And that's all. There is something that I missed to mention, that basically when you are setting up a project, you can decide if this project is going to be private or public, right? Private projects are not showing on the web page. Nobody can access that project without your actual permission. The public projects are the ones that are listed on the homepage. Everyone have access to those kind of projects. Alex, that's all from my side.
Cool, Leo. Thank you for showing me that. I'm curious, what are some of the things on the roadmap that you're hoping that Arcane Mirage is going to develop over the next year or however long into the future you can see?
Well, there are a couple of things already on the oven. As you've seen, we are planning to launch Windows support really, really soon. It's already in beta, it's already working, but there are a couple of adjustments that we have to do. Afterward, we are planning to start opening other regions. Currently, we do support the States, but we have plans for having servers on Europe and the APAC region as well. We know that it's crucial to have servers really close to the final user for this kind of experiences, especially if we are speaking about VR. Also, there are a couple of things that maybe are more in the future. We are planning to incorporate an editor, an online editor. So for example, if you are a student or a small independent artist, you will be able to directly stream the editor, work on whatever computer you are, no matter if it's a really high-end GPU or not. And without only a few clicks, start pixel streaming your project without actually having to go all the process of packaging the project, uploading and everything, right? So we are planning to not only create a pixel streaming platform, but we want to give the creator all the tools that they need to actually learn Unreal, use Unreal, and like share their creations with the world. Yeah, it's a really ambitious plan, but we want to not be only a tool of distribution, but also something that the content creators can rely on their daily work.
Yeah, that's excellent. Because of course, there's so many use cases across gaming and enterprise simulation, automotive architecture, where it's just really useful to be able to have a very realistic, detailed, interactive version of an experience. And especially if you travel, I know I've been in a lot of places where I'm moving from location to location and I don't want to take a 500-pound desktop computer with a RTX 4090 in it with me everywhere. Well, I have done that a couple times. It is much nicer if, as long as I can confirm there's good internet, or if I can bring a reliable mobile hotspot with me, that I know I'll be able to share everything that I'm trying to do with pixel streaming. Now, for those of us who have played a little bit with pixel streaming on our own, we've enabled the pixel streaming plugin. We've gone through tutorials to activate it locally. How much of Arcane Mirage is using the TensorWorks pixel streaming infrastructure that comes in Unreal and how much of it is customized, optimized, et cetera?
We are using the plugin that is already built inside the engine. So you don't have to download any external or any extra plugin to actually have this running. You just have to install the standard pixel streaming plugin and you will be able to start pixel streaming with us. There is no customization from your side. Of course, we have our own infrastructure. We have our own code to handle our servers and to do all the signaling that is needed in order to connect the streamers with the users. But in terms of what the user has to be done, that is everything that is required. Just installing a plugin, nothing more.
Yeah, it's a really easy system. Even I think non-technical people can jump right into it. And then, of course, not only can you use a keyboard and mouse, you can use an Xbox controller. If you're in VR, you know, it's going to obviously work with that input. So it's pretty cool following just the development of all this. And I just love something that I think separates Arcane Mirage from a lot of other pixel streaming platforms is how easy it is to jump into public projects that other people have published. If you go to a lot of other websites, especially if they're more enterprise focused, they might have like one or two demos that, you know, they're hosting, but you don't get to see a lot of how potential users are actually engaged. So the fact that there's, you know, hundreds of public experiences on Arcane Mirage that you can jump right into is great. I also quite like the fact that a lot of the example projects are a lot of the sample content you get from Unreal, like the Opera House, which you can get for free in the marketplace. There's the crop out RTS sample. There's all these things that, you know, you might actually go out of your way to download from Unreal, install it, set it up just to see how the sample works. And a lot of times when a new sample comes out, I'll pop over at Arcane Mirage and see, like, I wonder if anyone's uploaded it yet. And it's just kind of a nice opportunity to test it out in its interactive form.
Yeah, of course. And well, that is a great showcase or use case that you just described. I mean, you don't have to actually stream a full game. If you, for example, build a tool and you want to actually showcase how this is working, let's say that you have built a tool to build cities automatically, right? You can showcase that plugin or that tool directly through pixel streaming, right? It doesn't have to be a game or a full-fledged experience. It can be as simple as just a tool, a plugin, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really great for testing. Just, you know, it doesn't need to be finished, whatever it is. You can just upload it and see how it's going to run on different specs, because you can specify on Arcane Mirage like what kind of hardware it's going to use, and just see how it works, which is a lot of fun. So I'm a big fan of the platform. I'm not being paid to say any nice things about it. I just like it a lot. So that's me. Are you going to... So at Unreal Fest back in October, I got the chance to meet a lot of the folks from Arcane Mirage. And we had some nice discussions. By the way, I should have asked this at the beginning. Where does the name Arcane Mirage come from?
Well, it's actually, we are big geeks. We did friend that I told you that these are the VFX artists.
Yeah.
We play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. So there is a spell that is called Arcane Mirage, which is basically a spell that you can cast to basically create or modify a surface or a terrain to look different and to smell different and to be perceived different, right? So we started with this idea of the something that you can use to change the perception of the reality. That is where the Arcane Mirage name came from. Yeah.
That's really great. I love it. Yeah. I was going to say, though, that, yeah, I got to meet a bunch of your colleagues at Unreal Fest. What does this year look like for you and your team in terms of travel? Are there any particular conferences people should be looking for you at? Are there other opportunities to demo it? Anything just in terms of your circuit for 2024?
I don't know the agenda of this, so I'm not so accurate with this, but yeah, we are planning to at least attend a few Unreal Fest that are going to be on Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Q3 or Q4, I don't remember the exact date, but we are planning to be there. I don't have any specific if we are planning to go to anything early on the year. But yeah, for sure on Asia by the end of the year.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting how Unreal Fest is going to be in so many different places. And I wish there was I wish there was a way to follow Unreal Fest the way that someone might follow like U2 around on tour or Taylor Swift. Where like I wish the Unreal Fest were happening in such a way where you could like start at the Gold Coast and then go to Seoul and Japan and Singapore and every place that it ends up at. Maybe some year they'll do that. We can go on a bit of a circuit with them. But I'm sure you'll have a couple of your folks at the Seattle version in October as well. They were very well represented last year. So let me ask you for a prediction, Leo, because last year when GDC happened, Unreal had all sorts of incredible announcements. This is where they did their excellent live demo of MetaHuman Animator. We love live demos and all the things that can go wrong with them. They were revealing Fab and UEFN and teasing other samples like the Electric Dream sample that, you know, also revealed Strata materials and procedurally generated content. I think there were also hints of like Project Hillside. There were so many things that were packed into just the state of Unreal at GDC. And obviously, that was also when 5.3 was first revealed. Sorry, not 5.3, 5.2. 5.3 came later last year. So, Leo, just going to put you on the spot and say, is there anything that you think Epic will reveal at GDC this year, 2024? And what are the things that you hope they'd reveal, even if you think it's a big stretch?
Yeah, it's a huge. I mean, the expectations are high for sure. I mean, after all the reveals of the last year, the expectations are really, really high. If I will have to say something, of course, everything that is AI related is a really hot topic currently. And even if Epic already showcased some tools or plugins or ways to use AI on the engine itself, I think there is plenty of room for improvement there. So I think that for sure there will be AI related reveals for this year. And if I have to be honest, I'm just open to receive whatever reveal that they want to show us. I mean, the last year was great in that aspect, and I'm really excited to see what they are going to show us this year.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what comes out. I know the thing that I would love to see be revealed that almost definitely won't happen is because of all the money that Disney has now invested into Epic, so there's going to be this big announcement. Tim Cook's going to come on stage. Tim Sweeney's going to be on stage. The CEO of Disney, whose name I'm totally blanking out at the moment, will be there in the middle, and they're all going to hug, and it's just going to be a big happy family. And then there will be all these announcements about these upcoming partnerships with Unreal Engine and Epic Games and Apple, and that would be delightful. That being said, every week I try to give a little bit of an update on where what the state is of Unreal Engine with Apple Vision Pro, because of course the SDK tools are out there. There's just not a lot of handholding that Apple is giving to Unreal Engine, as far as we know. And as of yesterday, I now have Unreal Engine running in the Apple Vision Pro fully immersively. I had it working in mono about a week ago. Now it's in stereo. You can see the whole environment. You have your Swift UI. That's also customizable with buttons and all that. The only downside I'd say right now is you can see your hands, but there's no actual interaction. And it has like a little bit of a lag to it. I'm just using the VR template, but like it's a little bit slow. But you know, it's getting better all the time. I'm just pulling things off the main GitHub branch and it's feeling better and better. So I hope that we're going to see by 5.4. A lot of us are hoping that 5.4 will be revealed in some kind of form at GDC in an official capacity, that they'll be saying like, here is the stable for now version of what you can do with the Apple Vision Pro and Unreal Engine. So that would be kind of cool if that happens. Hopefully, pixel streaming. Oh, by the way, I did want to mention that even when I was using the Apple Vision Pro back in November, when I had like a dev day with it, one of the things that I did with my limited time with the headset was open up Arcane Mirage and try to do some pixel streaming there. There's a bit of a weird bug right now. This isn't specific to Arcane Mirage. This is with all Unreal Engine pixel streaming in the Apple Vision Pro, where it freezes on the first frame, like when you do enter immersive mode, snaps to the first frame, and then it won't go beyond that, which is strange because other WebXR content like A-Frame and Eighth Wall and things like that, they seem to work okay in VR mode. So I'd love to find some talented WebXR pixel streaming guru who can figure out how to get all that working properly in the Apple Vision Pro, because it still does feel like pixel streaming is going to be the easiest way to get content on there rather than jumping through all the Xcode hoops on a MacBook Pro that I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah. The VR support, not only specific about the Apple Vision Pro, but with every headset yet is on beta, I will say, right? There's a couple of bugs that has to be fixed in order to have a really nice experience with the headset. But yeah, I think we are getting there on 2024, yeah.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, this is about the time in the episode where I would give a little bit of a demo. Do you want to come along for a ride with me, Leo?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So I'm going to share my screen for our video watchers. And what I've got pulled up is just our standard third-person template. And by the way, this is as good a place as any to show folks that in order to prepare a project for pixel streaming like Arcane Mirage, all you have to do is go Edit, Plugins, find the pixel streaming plugin, and just turn it on. You don't need that pixel streaming player, just literally that plugin, and you'll get a little message saying you need to restart the project. You'll see some pixel streaming options there, and it's good to go. When it packages, everything will be there. If you wanted to package it for Linux, that's, you know, a little bit more complicated with how that gets set up, but you're at least ready to go for a Windows release. We're definitely learning more and more about Linux at my company just because there are so many benefits to how much faster it loads and how much cheaper it is, and you don't have to deal with Windows servers and all that. So hopefully more of the plugins we deal with will have Linux compatibility soon. So the little lesson today I thought I would teach some folks is I've got my little third-person metahuman character, and he's moving around. His legs aren't moving because I haven't updated the blend shapes, but I've cut a little hole in the wall to the side, and I've got your standard kind of door opening thing going on here. So just a little trigger volume that opens a door. And so there's a couple of things here that I think are useful to touch base about. One is how that door animation plays, but the other one is how did I take the wall here and cut a hole in it? Leo, do you have any theories on how this is accomplished?
You asked the wrong guy here.
That's okay. So we're actually going to dive a little bit into the Unreal Engine modeling tools. So that's down here in the same area as landscape and fracture and all that. If you don't see the modeling tools, that is also going to be in the plugins folder. So I'm going to type in modeling, and you'll see modeling tools, editor mode. And just like the pixel streaming plugin, you would just want that checkbox hit, and then you might have to restart the engine. So I can take a wall like this. And you want to make sure, by the way, that you're never editing geometry that is in your engine folder. So I'm very specifically making sure that this lives inside of, just hit my mic. You want to make sure this is living inside your project. So all the walls in the third person template, if I search for where those static meshes originate, it is a cube, but it's not the cube in the engine. So we're okay. So you can see I already have one here called cube with opening. We're safe here. If I were to edit this one, it would edit all four sides. In fact, you know what? Maybe that's okay. Maybe I'll go ahead and edit this one so we see it happen everywhere. And so what I want to do, if I want to punch a little hole, is first I'm just going to want to make sure I have something that's roughly the size of a door. And so I know just from having like a person that essentially two of these meter cubes is going to be enough. But if I'm not sure, I could find a mannequin. I could just filter by a skeletal mesh, drag a mannequin in and say like, okay, yeah, that feels about the right size for a door. And you can see some lumen artifacts there going on. So what I'm going to do is take another cube, and this cube is going to be what I use for cutting. So I'm going to find, I can just filter by static mesh. I forget what cube I used over here, but just something that's actually in my content folder. It could be a box too, cube box, whatever. And we've got a few different cubes here. So I'll do shape cube. I could also do chamfer cube if I wanted a little bit of curvature on it. And one fun thing I'm going to try is to give this a material, because what happens is if this has a material, Well, I'm not going to spoil the surprise. Something kind of fun is going to happen if this has a material. So I've got a metal material here. We got kind of like a little chrome sheen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this two times as tall. So just 2x there. And we're going to see that this is able to slide into the wall pretty well. And it's perfectly within that grid opening. So I've now got this cut into the wall. And now I'm going to click on the base object. This will be very familiar to anyone who's used 3ds Max or anything like that. And I'm going to go over into our modeling tools. And I'm going to find over in, in mesh, totally blanking on where we have our Boolean operations. Let me pull this down a little bit. There's more. There we go. So under mesh, we have an option for union, and we also have an option for simplify. Oh, you know what it is? It's because I think I need to click two. There we go. I have to click two different pieces together. And then there we go. It's under model. I just did this the other day, and I'm like, I've completely lost where Boolean operation is. And unlike so much of Unreal Engine now, I can't just start typing, you know? If it's like, I know there's something in the toolbar, and it has something to do with, you know, my class viewer, I can just type that in, and it'll come up. There isn't anything like that right now for the modeling mode, so you do actually need to remember where all these things are. But if I have both of these selected, and I go to Boolean, so you'll notice that there's the option here for a Boolean difference. And the first option here is literally cutting out everything that isn't touching the everything that isn't intersecting. So we're just seeing the door here. And this, of course, is the opposite of what we want. But Leo, what's something you notice about the back face of our little cube right now? What's it doing?
Yeah, it has the original wall, right?
That's right. So that's a cool thing about the Boolean operation is it actually does take materials from the other object. But if I now go instead of difference A minus B, I do B minus A, we'll see the opposite, and we'll see that the inside where we're actually cutting this hole now has this metal material. And in fact, I've got this little drag here. So this is where I can actually see, you know, what the operation is doing in different spots. So if I didn't actually want to open the wall all the way and I just wanted to imply a door, you know how in video games sometimes you just have like what looks like a door, but you can't actually go through it. You can have that kind of effect. But in this case, I actually do want to cut a hole. So I'm going to push it through a little bit further. And we see we've got this like nice metal sheen for the poche in the interior of the wall. But we've now successfully cut a hole. And when I do accept, we may have done it for all of these. Actually, no, we didn't. It looks like this did create a different piece of geometry. Yes, that's right. It is actually a new piece of geometry called Boolean, and it lives over in our generated folder. And if we wanted this same hole to be available at this wall over here, for example, we could just go ahead and replace the cube. Whoops. Never mind. No, we can't do that. I was going to say we could replace the cube with what we have there. I think the reason that's not working is because you'll notice that the geometry here for this one has a scale of 31 and 4. And then the one here is just 111. So we've kind of reset the transform. So if we wanted to get this over there, we'd probably want to do something like grab both of these and then do like a bit of an alt rotation sort of thing. And then we could, you know, place it roughly like this if we wanted to. It's just if we wanted to get these holes everywhere. And then I could just go and delete the ones that were there, if I so choose. Right. So now we've got two more holes, two more doors. And then you can imagine how we could start to have like infinite other levels here. Like just to be a little bit circuitous about this, I don't think I can do what I think I want to do right now, which is to put the third person map in itself. No, I can't do that. But if I were to have a persistent level, if I were to do this, for example, new level, and I do an empty level, and I think of this as a persistent level, I could then go to my levels window. And I don't even have to do it here. It doesn't have to be my levels window. If I just drag my third person map in here directly, this is an instance. This is a packed level actor of that map. And I could actually have a few of these. So I could actually start to, you know, connect these through the doors and play with some scaling if I need to. Like if I want to do a -1, let me start by resetting these. Just reset both of these. And then if I start to drag one of these out and then I do like -1 probably on the Y axis. Yes. So now I have a door opening here and a door opening here. And we're starting to connect these, right? So now we have something there. This is where I've already done this, but there's a door going through there. And then we have the same thing on the other side. and we are able to start moving through multiple versions of the same level. You can imagine like an obstacle course that takes you through and through and through. But let's go back to just the main level now that we've illustrated that. I just very briefly want to show you how we can build something like this, where we open the door. And so the first thing you want for this, if you're just doing it in the level, we'll do it for this spot right here, is a trigger volume. So I'm going to go plus, and I'm going to do trigger, and I'm going to find a trigger volume, and I'm going to put it right here. And of course, all we care about is making sure that this is located in such a way where my character can walk into it. I can make it a little bit bigger or smaller if I wanted to, but this feels about right. If I'm in this area, this is about where I want the door to open. The next thing we need is a door. So I can actually first just check my content folder and see if I have something called a door, and I do. So I'm actually going to drag this door into here, and we can even see it's not quite exactly the same size, and I could finesse the scale if I wanted to, but you know, the pivot point is in the right spot, and I can do this sort of thing just to see that it's working. And all we want to do is make it so that when we enter this trigger volume, it's going to make that door open. So the way we'll do that is we'll go into our level blueprint over here. And the level blueprint, you can actually see a little bit of the logic that's already going on that I was messing with in this level. Over here, I've got spacebar cycling through different skeletal mesh assets for changing what your character looks like. That's something maybe we'll demonstrate very briefly. But then up here, oh, that's it. And this is another thing I was playing with allowing us to swap some different elements based on what platform we're using, Android, iOS, mobile, etc. But then we've got over here, there we go. So we have actor begin overlap, door trigger volume. We've got a little change thing happening for making our character change their clothing when they go into it. But then over here we have door open and we're changing the actor rotation. We're setting the actor rotation directly. So we're gonna do the same thing here. So we've got this trigger volume and I'm going to go ahead and right click to get a reference to it. But instead of calling a direct reference to it, I'm gonna add a specific event or collision. So we're gonna say on actor begin overlap. So we're gonna have a thing that happens when it overlaps and a thing that happens when we stop overlapping. That probably looks very tiny. So let's make this a little bit bigger. We're gonna begin overlap and then we're gonna have end overlap. Right? So when we go into it, door's gonna open. When we go out of it, it's gonna close. We don't care what's coming into it. We're not like throwing stuff around in this level. So we can just, you know, literally anytime something is overlapping, this it will trigger. In this case, it's gonna be the pawn. So now we just need a reference to our door. So the door by default is closed. We've got it at this rotation right here. You know, again, if I wanted to change the scale a little bit of the door like that, 1.1 seems to fill that up a little bit better. But I'm gonna do the same thing. I can right click here and now I can just say create a reference to static mesh door. And all we're gonna do to start, just to make sure this is working, we're not gonna do any kind of animation. We're just going to set actor rotation. So we're just gonna say when we overlap this, let's set the rotation to, looks like we want 90. So we're gonna do 90 on the Z. And then the opposite, when we leave it, we're just gonna go back to zero, right? So we're doing a reference to the door in both cases. Compile, save all, and I'll press play. And just try skating over there. And we'll go boop, and we say, oh, nothing's working. Leo, any idea why it's not working? I know exactly why it's not working.
You know why exactly not working?
Yeah. The door is not set to movable. So if I press escape, I'll get a warning about this. It's going to say, hey, we tried to move the door, but we couldn't because it's set to static. And so we just need to go and tell the door, hey, it's okay to move. It's fine to move because Unreal Engine really likes to batch things into things that can move and things that can't move and never the twain shall meet. So now if I skate back over there, we should see, boop, it opens. And oh, it didn't close. I wonder why it didn't close. So it's opening fine, but it's not closing. So that's something we could investigate really quick. And we can just open up our level blueprint again and say, okay, so we got on begin overlap and we've got on end overlap. And for some reason, the problem is that I didn't change the rotation. Going to assume that that's working. We'll do a really quick test to it. The art tutorial is running a little bit long, so I want to kind of whiz through the final part. So it opens, it closes. It opens, it closes. Okay, last thing before we move on to wrap up our episode for the day is we just want to try animating it. So the easiest way to animate this is to use a fun little thing called the timeline node. Timeline node is like a mini little sequence that lerps from one spot to another. It's called door movement. I can't call it door open because the other one's called door open. And so what we're going to do is actually have both of these trigger the same thing. We're going to have, we don't even need to have this one anymore because they're both going to play into this, but they're going to do different things. When we begin to overlap, we're going to do play. And then when we go out of the trigger volume, we're going to do play in reverse. So play reverse. So no matter, even if the door is only half open, it's then going to go back to being shut because it'll reverse from wherever it left off. And so all we're going to be doing is changing the actor rotation amount over a period of time instead of just setting it directly to 90. So the question might be, okay, but how do we just set that number? And we can right click on rotation and say split structural pin. So this is what we want to affect. So all we need is an alpha channel or not an alpha channel. We just need a float value to feed into that rotation Z. So on update, which is like every frame this is playing, we're changing that value. But we don't have an alpha. I keep saying alpha because that's the default. We don't have a float value here to feed in. So we double click on the timeline and we do a new float track and we call it door movement or whatever. And then we want to set the length of time this is going to be. Let's say 1 second. That's a little bit long for a door to be opening, but we also want to give ourselves a chance to have it open and close. And then we just really need two values. We need what's happening at 0, 0, which is absolutely nothing. And then we need a value that brings us up to, how much are we rotating the door by, Leo?
90.
90, yeah. So then we want to have at the 1 second mark, 1 second has passed, and we've gone up to 90. And it's, you know, way up there, a little bit hard to see, but I promise it is correct. We can see the values there, 190. And so I go ahead and I compile that. And now we've got this little float value, and we just want to feed that directly into here. So when it's playing, it goes 0 to 90. And then we play in reverse, it goes from 90 to 0. And that should be all we need to make our little fun blueprint work here. Gonna compile that, gonna press play, and let's skate on over, doop a doop a doop a doop, and door opens, door shuts, door opens, shuts, door opens, shuts. And so you can see that it's going to start to shut from wherever it left off, even if it didn't get a chance to open all the way. And so at this point, we could also have something like a trigger volume on the other side, where once I'm on this other side, we're now loading that next level area. Or barring that, we can just fall down and have a good time leaving the level. Any questions about that, Leo? Did that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
Cool. All right. There is our little tutorial of the day. Stop share. By the way, tomorrow, Alex Coulomb's authorized Unreal Engine Training Center Manhattan Edition will have a free course tomorrow. This will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to alexcoulombpresents.com to sign up and register for the free class. I'll be with Whit Sellers, who knows way more about Unity than I do. So we're going to be taking particular care to introduce people who know a little bit about Unity, how they come over to Unreal, how a prefab is kind of like a blueprint, how a component is kind of also like a component, all that kind of stuff. So please join us for that if that sounds fun. Leo, a couple more questions before I let you go for the night. One is, what's your idea of a perfect day?
A perfect day? Well, the perfect day is when I have a daughter, right? So the perfect day is start the day taking her to the park, playing around, enjoying a really sunny day of summer. Afterwards, go with the family to a really nice coffee shop to have a croissant and take a good nap. The nap cannot be skipped, by the way, in the perfect day. And on the afternoon, meet with friends or family. Go out to have dinner and just lay down at night watching some TV shows on Netflix. That is like almost the perfect day, I will say.
Yeah. One of my favorite answers in there is the nap part. I think naps are horribly underestimated in this day and age.
I think it's the exact same way, yeah.
A nap is so excellent. I also want to give us a chance to shout out any Unreal creators doing cool stuff. Have you seen anything lately made in Unreal, maybe uploaded to Arcane Mirage or anything like that, Leo, that has impressed you, blown you away, anything like that?
I'm on Reddit, and yesterday, I think it was, there was an update on the Ninja Fluid, I think, plugin.
I was going to say the same thing. Yes, the Ninja Fluid stuff is incredible.
And it's really, really incredible, yeah.
Yeah.
So a big shout out to the creators of that. Yeah.
Yeah, big shout out to everyone doing that. My big shout out for the week is the new FX series, Shogun, which I alluded to a little bit in the opening. It's a fantastic show. It's kind of, to dumb it down, Japanese Game of Thrones based on a book that also had a miniseries made of it years ago. And it is so intricate and detailed, and all the characters are so well drawn, and the world, the production design is gorgeous. The way they are showing Japan in this time period is absolutely excellent. And I'm bringing it up in the Unreal Engine podcast because there is a prequel, like a 6-minute long prequel movie that is completely made in Unreal Engine that you can also go and watch on YouTube right now. We'll put a link to it in the show notes, and it's gorgeous. Then I'm actually curious that they're using Project Avalanche, the motion graphics plugin, which you can actually go play with right now in Unreal Engine 5.4. But there's so much going on in here that when they say they did this entire prequel video in Unreal Engine, I'm curious if all the graphic stuff was done that way too. It's very, very cool. Great showcase of what's possible now, treating Unreal Engine as a bit of a one-stop shop. Any chance you've seen Shogun yet, Leo?
No.
Highly recommend. It's great. Then the last question we like to ask our guests is, what does the future look like to you? If you had to project out, 10, 20 years with all the things you're working on right now and the direction all this wonderful technology is going, some cases terrible technology, what comes to mind to you?
I don't want to be pessimist. So I will take that part out, right? So let's assume that everything is great. I can foresee a future with much more tools at our disposal to actually do less work. I would love to not having to work too much, or everyone not having to work too much. I like leveraging the technology that we have at our disposal. But I think there are going to be challenges besides technology challenge, right? So I think the next 10 to 20 years will have challenges around the society, how we incorporate those new technologies, everything that is bringing the AI, everything that is bringing VR. For sure, we'll have to come to an agreement on how to use those technologies for our benefit, right? Because if not, everything can go really, really bad. I will say that we have more than technological challenge ahead. So I'm not so concerned about the technology, but on how we are going to use those technologies and how those technologies are going to be regulated. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all incredibly prescient. My biggest hope on a similar note is that I know AI and all this generative AI is the future no matter what. Nothing is stopping this train. But I would really love to see care and attention taken toward how it is all sourced. And so rather than just being able to generate an image that looks like the work of some incredibly talented painter or Unreal Engine artist without compensating them at all, there's a history and a knowledge of where all this is coming from. And even if it's like a microtransaction kind of thing where, yeah, Leo made this incredible sculpture and some of that information is being fed into some AI that's being generated, maybe Leo is getting half of a cent, when that happens. But then if there's hundreds of thousands of instances of this AI being used, over time, Leo is getting properly compensated for how his work started to contribute to this AI model, especially if he ideally gave permission and licensed it, out of his own free will for it to be used in that kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. We have to take care of the artists and of the creators of the world, because if not, they will stop doing what they are doing, all the amazing things that they are doing, and it will be just feeding the wheel with the same content over and over again, feeding the same AI, and it will start creating always the same thing, right?
Yeah. A Xerox machine, a copy of a copy of a copy, and there's no
exactly
blood in there at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very well put. Well, thank you, Leo. Before we let you go, how can people find you? Where can people find our team Mirage? We'll put all the stuff in the show notes, but any final plugs?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn as Leo Buddy. And well, you can find Acquire Mirage on the open web. Just type acquiremirage.com and it will pop up.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on this episode of the Unofficial Unreal Engine Podcast. I'm your host for the evening, Alex Coulomb. Follow us on the socials and all that. Like, subscribe. Thank you to Vikas Reddy and everyone on the Lighttwist team. The studio's down for today, which is too bad because we would have loved to show our PixelStream studio to our PixelStream guest. It'll be another time. And thank you, of course, to Alan, our producer, for making us sound good. See you all next time. Thank you.